Part 2, Chapter 3, Earthquake. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. We were learning we should not have preconceived ideas about how he is going to work. We were also learning we had a powerful enemy with which to contend, the prince of the power of the air, as the scripture refers to Satan, was not ready to relinquish the airwaves without a fight. We had many battles with our enemy as he sought to hinder and delay the building of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. Even though the Antiguan government gave the necessary approval for the land long before, that vital piece of paper called a lease was as elusive as a donkey's carrot on the end of a stick. Since the government had told us we could go ahead and excavate while we were waiting on the lease, Rowan painted a sign for the new studio building site, and the church folks joined us for a groundbreaking ceremony. We thought we would be able to begin construction within a few days, but such was not the case. Just when we expected the lease to be signed, we were told that before it could be granted to BIMI's radio station, the mission must be locally incorporated, and this could take 6 to 9 months. However, God answered prayer, and the government decided to grant a temporary lease to Al Snyder and Roland on a personal basis. This would be in effect until the rest of the red tape was finished. This meant we would soon be able to really start building. We praised the Lord and prayed we would have no further delays. We thanked the Lord that as Satan threw up each roadblock, the Lord knocked it down or showed us the way around. We knew he would accomplish that which he had begun. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. We had quite an earth-shaking experience early Tuesday morning, October 8, 1974. I woke up about 6 a.m. and went to the bathroom. While there, I heard a muffled roaring sound coming from underground, and I thought it was a big truck passing by our house, but the noise continued. The truck did not pass by. Suddenly, the bathroom's tiled floor started heaving up and down, and everything started shaking violently. Roland jumped out of bed, and the children woke from their sleep with fright. We stood together in the hallway as the walls swayed and rolled. It felt like we were standing in the back of a big truck that was roaring down a rough road. We could hardly stand up. We realized we were experiencing a violent earthquake. We could hear things falling all over the house and out of the cupboards, but surprisingly, only a very few items broke. We had no major damage from the earthquake, but many of the older government buildings, stores, banks, and churches had extensive damage from cracked walls, broken pane glass windows, some fallen walls, etc. The stores were a mess, with broken rum bottles and other goods falling off the shelves all over the floor. Some of the buildings had to be condemned, including two historical churches. The building which was being used by Grace Baptist Church was badly damaged, but we were still able to meet there. When experts arrived on the island, they expected the island to be completely flattened. The earthquake measured 7.4 on the Richter scale, but the epicenter was under the sea, quite a few miles away from Antigua. There were some spiritual results from the earthquake. It made many people aware of the brevity of life. Many were calling on God, and several were saved as a result. We praise the Lord for the many good friends He gave us as we worked toward the establishment of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. It would have been impossible to accomplish this great task without their help and encouragement. Of course, Satan tried to use other kinds of earthquakes to hinder the building of the radio station. He attempted to block the way of some of our friends and keep them from coming to help us. But our good friend George Alexander came and spent a week helping erect the steel building, which was to be the studio office building. Just when George was scheduled to come, his little son had an accident with gunpowder and was badly injured and burned. His sight was in doubt, and doctors said he would have to be in the hospital 3 months. Much prayer went up for him, and God worked a miracle. Danny was out of the hospital in 1 week with his sight restored and other injuries healing nicely. He was back in school within 2 weeks. We received word from London and Geneva in June 1975 that we were required to be on the air by the end of August or forfeit our frequency. Much work needed to be accomplished before that could be a result. We asked the Lord to help, and He answered. In July, Henry Hungerpiller, our antenna expert friend from ELWA in Liberia, came to help and get the tower up. It was the heaviest and tallest tower he had ever helped to build, so it was a great challenge. Heavy winds made the job more difficult and dangerous. August found all the staff working night and day to get technical equipment functioning properly and the inside work completed in the studio building. We thank the Lord for the invaluable assistance of special friends who came to Antigua and donated their time and expertise. Jim Dixon, a Christian radio technician from Atlanta, helped install the transmitter and ground system. John Neuenswander from Ohio was a wonderful help with the ground system. Bill Greaves and son Paul of the radio and TV faculty of Bob Jones University performed the delicate task of tuning the transmitter to the tower and help solve other technical problems. Jack Buttram flew Bill and Paul to Antigua with their equipment and pitched in to help while they were with us. Ken Larson, Caribbean Radio Lighthouse staff member on deputation, helped with inside work at the studio building for 3 weeks. In spite of the earthquake and all the ways Satan attempted to hinder or stop the establishment of the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, we were able to meet the deadline and were on the air with test broadcasts on August 27, 1975. September 7, 1975 was the big day of the dedication service for Caribbean Radio Lighthouse and the beginning of our regular broadcast schedule. Even though our enemy, the devil, tried to sabotage this day of joy, we rejoiced in the Lord's faithfulness. Dr. Tom Freeney, General Director of BIMI, came to Antigua to give the dedicatory message. The Prime Minister of Antigua, Honorable George Walter, was our special guest. He flipped the switch to turn on the transmitter. Several hundred Antiguans joined us for the dedicatory service on the front lawn of Caribbean Radio Lighthouse and toured the building after the service. To God be the glory, great things He had done. The devil did not give up his attempt to keep us off the air. Shortly after we went on the air, he sent another earthquake to try to shut us down. a French rock and roll station on the island of Dominica, went on the air with 50,000 watts, very near our frequency. We knew this could blanket out our signal to the southern islands. Also, our frequency assignment was still in question. We sent out an urgent prayer request to our prayer partners, and God answered. A few months later, Radio Jumbo, the rock and roll station on the island of Dominica blocking our signal, suddenly moved their frequency to the other end of the dial. No court on earth could have made them move, but God could, and He did.